Thank you, gentlemen. What a morning so far, isn't it? Praise the Lord. His mercy is indeed more. Well, I invite you to take your Bible, your copy of God's Word, as we continue in worship now in the Word. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. We, of course, continue this study. And we are in chapter 20, very well-known chapter of God's Word. If you're visiting with us, another warm welcome to you. I know you have been greeted well already. And if you do not have a copy of God's Word with you, just look in front of you. Where you found the hymnals, you would see a copy of God's Word there as well. Please, we do invite you to follow along in our look at God's Word this morning. It's been commented on already, and certainly many of you, if not all of us, know that today is Father's Day. Today is Father's Day. This is the day set aside as a society to honor fathers. However, our society is really struggling with honoring fathers these days. Is that not true? It's just a great struggle to honor fathers. In fact, in this era of cancel culture, it's all about dishonoring the fathers. Is that not true? It's dishonoring the fathers, it's removing the fathers, it's renaming the fathers. You've no doubt asked, I'm sure some of you said, what is going on? What's with all the canceling? Why all the dishonor? And you might very well think this is, like many things, you might just think that this is a modern phenomenon. This is a 2021 thing, canceling fathers. Well, the reality, friends, is that dishonor is nothing new. Dishonor didn't just pop up in 2020 or 2021. Dishonor is actually not only an ancient thing, it goes back to the garden. It goes back to the garden. Adam, of course, famously dishonored his father, did he not? What about Ham? You remember that account, how Ham dishonored his father, Noah? Of course, there's Absalom dishonoring his father. And on we could go. And that's just the first part of the Old Testament. And of course, history itself also testifies to this. History has also revealed, and it is this, that as parental dishonor increases, mark this, as parental dishonor increases, society suffers. Society suffers. This is not something that can just be a part of a society tucked away. Parental dishonor erodes like termites the very foundation of society. And we're going to see how that's true in God's Word today. Indeed, societies that fail to honor the family structure, the authorities in the family, as our Creator intended, those societies are the ones that crumble from the inside out, like our own. And that collapse, when the society collapses, you can trace it every time. You follow the breadcrumb trail back all the way to the home. To the home. That's where it starts. Yes, as you think about the various domains that are infested with dishonor today, understand that such disgrace is almost always traced back to family dishonor. That's the fountainhead. Understand that such disgrace is traced back to family dishonor. The ones pulling down statues and dishonoring fathers today, it turns out, are the generation that rebelled against their own fathers yesterday. Listen to me, I'm telling you, as I'm part of that generation. I'm a product of that generation where it became cool to dishonor mom and dad. Do you remember? We stopped using terms like dad and mom. And somewhere along the way, it became okay to call them by their first name. In fact, very cool because a cartoon character did it. Dishonor starts at home. It's very subtle at first. And you know this, new ways, modern ways to parent. That's the fishhook, right? There's a new way. This is what Dr. Spock has to say. These are the new things that have to be said. There's a new way to do this ancient thing. Child-centered. That's what you need, a child-centered home. You need arrangements. You need to drop contracts, parent and child, like as if it's a negotiation. And how about this one? Let's make mom and dad peers. Let's make them peers. Not fathers, they're our peers. All of that sounds good on Oprah and sitcoms, of course, but it silently kills the home. It kills the home. And of course, honor fades slowly, but most certainly. And of course, we have a society that just feeds it. A society, as Isaiah 3 most famously prophesied, what? A society that makes princes out of children. Yes, indeed, a society of Gretas. Thus, letting the young, the parents, decide what's put into their body. Their bodies aren't even formed. But we say we empower them. We empower the young to make decisions about what goes into their body, and here it is, how they change their body parts. Making princes out of children. Kids who haven't hit puberty, who haven't even fully developed, and listen, I'm not just talking about the physical body, I'm talking about the mental acumen, the mental ability, and we empower them. In any other domain, businessmen and women, you know this is true. You empower someone that isn't mature enough, and what happens to the business? Yet we empower them to be kings and queens over their bodies, we empower them to be kings and queens over their homes, and we empower them to be kings and queens over their parents. And yes, such it is this generation now, where children raise their parents. And so, beloved, I ask you, is it any wonder that we have an honor problem today? Is it any wonder? Today we arrive at a text that addresses honor straight on, directly. And it's about as straightforward a text as we see in these commandments. It's a direct commandment, and the first with a promise, as the New Testament reminds us, as we continue to see in our Exodus study, in these 10 words. At their heart, this law is timeless, manifest here to Israel, but pointing higher to God's law. Not Moses, he gave it for a time and a place, but what they're doing here is pointing to the higher God's law, applicable for all generations, for all people. And again, we arrive at a commandment and a standard that clarifies so much. I pray this will be refreshing this morning when we consider honor. Not surprisingly, look at this commandment. It's the first command of what has been famously recorded as the second table. The first table is the first four commands. Remember, that had to do with our vertical relationship. And then the next six, they call the second table, dealing with our horizontal. Not surprisingly, this is the first one out of the gate. The fact that the first relationship, the very first addressed horizontally, is mother and father, is a reality that makes sense. This makes all kinds of sense if you think about the relationships in your life. This is the mother-father relationship to child, is the relationship of all earthly relationships, is it not? This is indeed the relationship of relationships on this earth. Yes, the command to honor the earthly ones that brought you into this world. The earthly ones that brought you into this world. Now think with me. That in an earthly sense, your parents stand as God's first authority to you. That's what they stand as. That is God's plan. This is how He designed it, that they stand for Him in a very tangible and a very practical way. God's plan, this is His plan, that they physically bring you into the world. And God created the way for that to happen. They stand as authorities over you, and even more, they nurture you, they feed you, they tend to you, they clothe you, they train you, they guide you, and they, of course, protect you. All of that is like what? God Himself, is it not? They stand practically doing the things that God the Father plans and designs and does for you. They stand before you, and here it is, as the first ones in your life to represent who God is. This is the most physical, most basic, and most fundamental relationship we have, parent-child. Even more than marriage, friends, listen, even more than marriage, it is the base relationship, father, mother, son, daughter, that we all have. Many of us have many relationships. We don't necessarily all share a commonality with them, but the one relationship that we do have is we all have a mother and we all have a father. Now let's examine this command. Look at it in verse 12. Let's read it, and then we'll study. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord is giving you. Our Father God, we come before you in light of this command, asking that you would illuminate our eyes to see things we have not seen before. We beg that we would receive those truths, that you would give us understanding of those truths, and that we would then go and live out these truths. All to your glory, we pray. Amen. Simply two truths. Look at that verse. Two truths we see here, and we're just going to look at them this morning one by one. One by one. The first is parental weight. Look at the first part of verse 12, parental weight. It says this, honor your father and your mother. Now, I want you to zone in to that word honor there. It's a precise, like all words are in God's word, it's a precise and important word. First of all, it is given by the Holy Spirit as a command. This is something to do, to do. And what is God commanding us to do? To honor our father and mother. The word honor there means this, to regard highly, or more so, here it is, to weigh heavily. That really gets at the original, to weigh heavily. The idea of weight here is important because the word used there, you look at the word honor, it comes from the same root word that's from another Old Testament word you know, and it's glory. They come from the same root word. And to give glory is what? To give more regard, special esteem, to give more weight to another. We know it most, and fittingly, and as we should, as giving glory, giving weight to our God, to honor him, giving him full weight in all things. That is true in an ultimate sense, so let's not miss that. God alone we honor above all, as he is over all. However, that ultimate honor does not mean that we give no other honor anywhere else. Certainly, there's only one God, so when we're talking about worship, there is only one. But when we're talking about earthly honor, it doesn't mean we give no earthly honor to none else. And the Bible, as we'll see, tells us this. In fact, in ancient times, people were called to give weight to the king. They were called to honor him. You were called to honor the king. That means you regard him highly. You weigh him heavily. In 1 Kings 3:13, God tells Solomon that, listen to this, honor will be given to him. Along famously with wisdom, God says he will receive honor. That is high regard and much weight by the people. Of course, you have the Queen of Sheba and others coming, giving much weight to the king. In the New Testament, in the early church, the command was to honor the emperor, 1 Peter 2:17. And consider that command in light of the fact that they were persecuted. Now, I want to be clear, honor is not the same as obedience, and that's another message, and I restrain there, but we honor the emperor. You honor the king. And here in the law of God, we're called to honor our father and mother. Same word. That naturally means we are to regard mother and father highly. We are to weigh father and mother heavily. That means our relationship with them, as commanded in God's word, here it is different. No matter what, your relationship to father and mother must be different. It's not like your other relationships. It's not like a coworker. It's not like a neighbor. And yes, it's not like your spouse. It's a very different relationship. This means, like they did with kings and like they did with emperors, this means a special regard and weight is given to one's parents, just as God says. Proverbs 17:6, listen to this, says, the glory of children is their fathers. The glory of children is their fathers. And that's the way that it should be. And when it isn't, listen, when it isn't, God has something to say about that throughout his word. In fact, God demonstrates throughout his word, that honor to father and mother is very, very serious. Just look down at Exodus. You're in 20. Just look over at 21. We'll be in this likely in the fall. But look as you start to unpack some of the law. Look at Exodus 21, verse 15. These are now law bits. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall what? Be put to death. What about verse 17? Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be what? Put to death. Is this serious? In the eyes of the Lord, very, very serious. That, by the way, those commands there in Exodus 21, repeated in Leviticus 20, verse 9, and then later given again in wisdom literature, Proverbs 20:20 says, if one curses his father or his mother, listen to this, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. How about Deuteronomy 27:16? To the next generation. So the first generation failed, and here it is to the second generation, Deuteronomy 27. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or mother. The language is so stark, it's so strong. And not only this, or not only that, listen to Deuteronomy 21. This is an account I believe you know well. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. Again, we're in the law here, as God is laying out the standard for his people, how they're to live life. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to him, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. So you picture that? This is a stubborn, rebellious son not yielding to the discipline of his parents who love him. And what? Verse 20, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Verse 21, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. This is parental weight. Do you feel that? And what I want us to feel, as I know there's many questions about really executing a son for being disobedient and disciplined, but what I want you to see, if you can park that for a moment, if it's true that the root of all downfall in society starts at the home, if it's true that rebellion starts with mother and father first, do you understand why God administrates this standard? I think he loves his society and his people more than we do, doesn't he? And he says authority is serious. And remember, what he's doing in the Mosaic Law is laying out the bedrock principle of a healthy society. And is it any wonder we live in a very unhealthy society? We do not honor father, and we do not honor mother. This is parental weight. I trust there's no doubt, even with that brief survey, about how God feels about parental weight. Now, that is the command of God, serious and weighty and very clear, very clear. However, understanding what that means may not seem so clear, right? Maybe just plain receiving is by no means simple. And you will say, maybe you've said it already, you do not know my parents. You do not know my parents. A command like this and its various complexities, and listen, honor father and mother has a myriad of complexities, does it not? Because we're all different, and we all have different relationships. So a command like this needs a moment to unpack. So let's endeavor to do so. First, let's consider where this command is encountered first. And where is that? In the home, under the roof, children that are under the roof of their parents. And that would be, to be crystal clear, under their authority. Under their authority when they're under their roof. This would be to children, and there's some of you out there right now, and this is for you. You're living under the authority of your parents. You're under their roof. Honoring, as I have no doubt you've done already today or maybe later today, can be demonstrated in nice gifts and cards and a meal by your own hands. Or talking well of dad and mom. I pray at the very least you'll do that for father today. And that's a way for sure that you honor. There's no question about it. We honor fathers and mothers through Mother's and Father's Days. And in every other day, in the special events and occasions, and sometimes, children, right, you don't even need a special day to honor mother and father that way. And that's all lovely and good. However, the most common way, the most preeminent way that you show honor to your parents at home is by what? Obedience. That's how you honor them. And parents, you know what I'm talking about. That is the way you demonstrate. I want to speak for all the parents in the room. I hope I don't cause a disruptive Father's Day here. But I'm willing to submit, fathers, are you with me? You would take truckloads of gifts and candies and goods, which are all good. Kids, they're wonderful, and I hope you do that. For one measure of obedience. For one measure of obedience. You'd say, those are lovely. Obedience is the currency of God. And it is the preeminent way that you demonstrate that you honor truly mother and father. Obedience. Yes, that means submitting children to their authority. It means listening to them. And here it is. And listen to me, I am Exhibit A to tell you this. I was a child that disobeyed and was very rebellious. And I had thoughts, maybe kids, you have thoughts like this too. They don't know what they're talking about. My parents aren't relevant. They don't know. They don't really know what's going on inside. And let me tell you something, kids, and I speak for all the parents in the room. If for no other reason, simple math tells us they have lived much longer than you have. And here it is. They love you in ways that maybe you can't even see. Because love does hard things. They may be the only people in your life telling you the hard things, children. And you honor them by obeying them, listening to them. And sometimes that means you don't understand it all, children. But you obey because our Lord tells you to. Our Lord tells you to. Obedience. They've been placed, children, as an authority in your life by God. Your parents are from God. In fact, He placed them in your life to do His work on your behalf. Children, have you thought about this? God gave you mom and dad as a way to provide for you, as a heavenly father through earthly fathers does. How does God provide for you, children? Through dad and mom. How does God care for you? Through dad and mom. How does God guide you? Through dad and mom. That's how He does it. And you know, obeying your father and mother is not just a way to honor Him. It's not like there's a whole bunch of ways you can honor parents, right? And it's right beside the Hallmark and the box of candies. Well, you know what? I'm going to do this one and not that one. No, it is actually the way in which you honor mother and father. You obey. In fact, it is that, and the primary means to do just that. But listen, children, obeying parents is ultimately, here it is, the way you honor your Father in heaven. And how and why is that? You say, how and why is that? Because in obeying your parents, here it is, you're obeying God's word. In obeying your parents, you're obeying God's word. Listen to a few verses. Listen to this command. Now given in the New Testament, the same command Apostle Paul gives us in Ephesians 6:1, what we read this morning. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then this in verse 2, honor your father and mother. That's right out of Exodus 20. It's the same as, listen to this, in Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents. And note this, children. It's hard, I know. In everything. That's what the Word of God says. Children, obey your parents in everything. And then this, for this pleases the Lord. Yes, children, God says obey your parents in everything. And that covers it all, right? Of course, we need to say this. Children, you would not obey your parents if they ask you to sin. You would not obey that. Anything sinful, you would not obey. If God has placed your parents to stand for Him in your life, it stands to reason, as they follow the Lord, they would not ask you to sin. And by the way, I have to say this, that kind of authority structure where you wouldn't obey in sin is exactly the same, lo and behold, for governing authorities. Is that not true? It astonishes me, and I will restrain, how people give a carte blanche that we need to obey authorities at all costs. Sometimes we just want to say, if we open up our word, Acts 5:29, we obey God rather than, because men ask us to sin sometimes. We don't obey all authorities at all costs. No, when an authority, whether government or parent, asks you to sin, you say, no, I obey God rather than men. And let me be clear, by the way, especially children, before parents, you think, what are you giving them license to do? You're obeying God and His word. If what you're doing does not align with God's word, then it is very likely sinful. Do not look for this for a measuring stick to disobey parents. Many of you, I know many out there, are blessed with wonderful parents, godly parents, and you follow them, you obey them, you listen to them. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your father and mother as you live with them by obeying them. Now, let's move out of the home to that point when children move out of the home, right? This is where it gets tricky, is it not? Now, children grow up and they move out of the home and they say, how do I honor mother and father? Well, of course, it does. It moves from obedience now to full-blown honor. Full-blown honor. And of course, there are a few circumstances that we need to consider when the child leaves the home. For one, let's consider the grown children that really have no issues with this command at all. And I know there's some of you here, you have no issue with this command at all. In fact, you may say, I love the fifth commandment, and I love my parents. Maybe you, to this point, have been saying, I don't have any issues honoring father and mother. I have lovely parents, and indeed you do. You're saying, my parents are great. I desire nothing but honor for them. Today, in fact, you probably have Father's Day plans. You have words and a kind gift, as you should. And to you, application and obedience to this command just flows naturally. There's no struggle here. However, the Bible offers you a couple important considerations in this case. And I want to stress, this is not to make trouble. This is just by way of reminders. Because we're all human beings, and we all have things. And there's, in God's word, a couple of reminders for us. Number one, honoring dad and mom does not mean you dishonor your marriage. Honoring dad and mom does not mean you dishonor your marriage. Do you know what I mean by that? Genesis 2:24, let me read this to you. It says this, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and constantly consult them about everything before he goes to... No, it doesn't say that, does it? Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife and they shall become one flesh. The idea of cleaving there is that's it. I'm going to know parents now. You maybe you'll... Something, you're like, I love my children. Of course you do, but you love them enough to know they need to cleave to husband. They need to cleave to wife. Listen to me. Honoring dad and mom does not mean you dishonor your marriage. You honor your parents by leaving them and cleaving to your spouse. That's how you honor them. You know, it may feel like for close families a really sweet and precious thing to just involve mom and dad with everything, every call, every decision. It may feel like that to you, spouse, who's very close to your parents, but it can be very dishonoring to your spouse. You know, speaking of the fact that parents move from authorities, and here's a word, to advisors. They move from authorities to advisors. My wife and I would tell you there may not be, next to communication, a more pressing counseling issue in marriages, in young marriages. Did you know that? Young couples that come and they're being very honest with us, almost every time there's an issue with leaving and cleaving. You come to a family holiday, one side says this, that says that, well, I got to do this, and what will my dad say? What will my mom say? Again, honoring dad and mom does not mean you dishonor your marriage. Secondly, honoring does not mean the absence of difficulty or disagreement. I want to submit in love. If you would say, well, we don't have any issues at all, I would say, well, that would be very unusual. As close as you are, sure, you may feel like you have no issues whatsoever with your parents, but might I suggest to you that in itself might be a dashboard light. Of course, again, let me be clear this morning. We're not saying you're looking for trouble. That's not what I'm saying. Yet it is true, is it not true? I want you to think about your closest relationship, and I want you to think of every close relationship. Is this not true? The closer you get, what happens? There's a rub. The closer you are, if you would profess to be super close, then it is absolutely true that when you put two sinners together, what happens? Sparks fly. And the temptation for those with close relationships to dad and mom is to cling to that closeness at all costs and avoid any sense of difficulty. Listen, good parents still make mistakes. Healthy parents still sin. And listen, they even hurt. And the most honoring thing anyone, especially sons and daughters, can do is not to sweep things under the rug so that the family get-together is peaceful or harmonious. No, it's not to sweep it under the rug. It's to acknowledge it, talk it out, work it out. Not with fists and fury, but in love. Again, we're not making trouble here, but we're rather addressing things as they come up so that the long-term gain is a sweet gain. Additionally to that, for those with healthy relationships with their parents, so you know I'm not picking on anyone, I would implore you, if that's you, take time to be thankful. And I know you are today, this Father's Day, and that's really good, but consider how blessed you are in the most fundamental human relationship to have a sweet relationship with your mother or father. Just take time today truly and thank God for that. We've seen enough that aren't so sweet. So be thankful. Now, that said, such closeness is not the case for many others. And now we move to another group. And sadly, this is not the case for most others. I hate to say that, but it's true. And these are maybe some, if not many of you, cringing through this to say, when is he getting to my situation? Relationship with dad and mom is anything but smooth, anything but pleasant, anything but healthy. I can't possibly, beloved, nor do we have the time to cover every nuance here. I want you to know that. But we can safely put these not so ideal parent relationships into two camps. Number one, it's this. Parental relationships that are strained but not severed. Strained but not severed. So what we mean here is that your relationship with dad and mom is difficult. Maybe it's very difficult. There are regular issues arising, maybe going back to childhood, maybe even more now, maybe much here. Phone calls are hard. Family get-togethers are angst-producing. They're very unpleasant. Maybe relating to mom and dad is just rocky. This can be for a number of reasons, and let me just give you two, especially one most famously today. You have different views on the pandemic, and that just makes family get-togethers very difficult. Or how about this one, right through to your eternal destination? You're going one way, they're going the next. Your parents maybe are not saved. So how do we honor dad and mom in these cases? Well, a few biblical principles help us here. For one, we do not add to the strife. We do not add to the strife. Listen to Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And if parent is the most fundamental relationship, that means you bend over backwards to live peaceably with mom and dad. Don't push dad's buttons. Don't get mom going. Don't provoke. In fact, promote peace always, because that honors. Yes, there can be a myriad of reasons why time with parents is not healthy. I understand, believe me. So you manage your time with them accordingly. Sure, your sister, your brother, your Christian sister or brother talks to their parents every day, and you think, I can't even imagine talking to my parents every day. But it may not be just true for you. Maybe it's every week. Maybe it's every month. You manage it within a framework that's honoring. And there's not fireworks every time you talk. You manage it. The Bible also offers, by the way, no conditions on honoring your parents. Did you know that? There are no conditions. It's not honor them if they're honorable. You honor them. Always. In everything, you honor them. Even the tough parents. Turn to 1 Timothy 5. Turn to 1 Timothy 5. We honor our parents. We honor those in our own household because, here it is, God tells us to. 1 Timothy 5, this letter that Paul writes to Timothy for the church in Ephesus, and he gives all kinds of instructions for the church. In fact, you might have a subheading there in chapter 5 that says just that. Let's just pick it up in verse 3. Listen to what he says. Honor widows, there's the same word, honor widows who are truly widows. But then listen to this. If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness where? To their own household and to what? Make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. God prescribes in the household first. And then even more, go down to verse 8. God presses the point and says this, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and look at this, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is what? worse than an unbeliever. There's no conditions on that. None at all from our Lord. Nothing there says abandon the care if they're difficult. Nothing there says, oh, you know what? You don't have to honor if they're annoying. Nothing says that. No, ensure that your parents are cared for. This is everything from just remembering to call them on special days like today to making arrangement in latter days and being intentional about mom and dad. I ask you, friends, as we just reflect on honoring our parents, how often in this busy age do children get busy with life and forget dad and mom? Do you know what I mean? I cannot tell you. My heart breaks when I hear a parent say, oh, I know they're just so busy. They haven't called, but I just know they're so busy. That's heartbreaking. Too busy to call mom and dad, to check up on mom and dad. It's wrong. Relationships, listen, and if you're in one of those difficult ones and you felt like I don't need to call, I don't need the headache right now, listen to me, relationships are not renewed or repaired with distance or absence. Even at the most fundamental level. It's only making the problem worse. Sure, for a time, I'm talking, there's things that happen and there's a time, a few days, weeks, maybe months, something happens, sure, but that must not be the pattern. In fact, I'd submit to you, often it can be a grown child's neglect of dad and mom that actually makes the situation worse. And even more, we're commanded to care for our older parents. We've seen this, and so we do. And as God might allow, it will foster more relational health with mom and dad. How many testify to this? When you do what God says, something amazing happens. Flourishing in relationships. Leviticus 19:32, same law, by the way, as in Exodus, says this: you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. You shall fear your God, I am the Lord. This is the economy of God, to stand up and honor your parents. Again, no conditions. And listen, how can we honor the face of any gray head or any old man if not the ones in our own household first? And exhibit A is society today. Secondly, there are those parental relationships that are hostile, if not cut off altogether. I trust this is not you, but I recognize that there are some of you in this situation. Of course, based on the biblical principles we just looked at, if this is because of you, if the severing is because of you in any way, or whatever thing that you've added to it, I implore you, it's because of your sin, you repent of your sin. You make it right, you repent, you search your heart, you look for the log in your own eye, and you make it right with mom and dad, because you know what? Mom and dad aren't guaranteed tomorrow. And you will live for the rest of your days under that, and you don't want to do that. Not only because of guilt, but because God says, make it right. Don't bring me offering if it's within your power and you haven't made it right with mom and dad. Make it right with mom and dad. However, it might be here that the ice in the relationship, saying that, I do recognize that the ice in the relationship may not be because of you. In fact, you would say to me, Jason, I've done everything in my power to make it right with mom and dad. And I understand that. Dad and mom, they took offense to something and they just can't let it go. Dad and mom take great offense to my choices over COVID-19. Dad and mom want nothing to do with me if I have everything to do with God. They want nothing to do with me. In these cases, there is really only one thing that you can do, and you know what it is. I would submit to you in these cases, it's the ultimate way you can honor them. Christian, child of God, you pray. I don't mean you throw in a token prayer here and there as it comes to your mind. You get on your knees, and you get intentional with praying to our God. You do the one thing, the only thing that you can do to honor father and mother. The only way that no one can reject or stop you from doing that. That's the thing no one can stop you from doing. You pray for them. You pray every day as much as you're able. You pray and you pray and you bring them before God. In Luke 18, note this, Jesus told of a parable of a persistent widow in a very difficult situation. He told them, verse 1, a parable to the effect that they ought not to lose heart. So you pray for them and then you keep praying for them. Entrust them to our sovereign God. Trust your broken relationships and dad and mom is never to the point where you abandon prayer for them. Oh, I pray that you don't get to that point. You pray for them. Children, we obey. Adults, we make peace. Adults, we pray. And thus, we all honor father and mother. That's the parental weight of this command. The next is a short one. Bear with me for a few minutes. I do see the time. Practical wellness. Practical wellness as we finish this command. Look at the end of verse 12. Back in Exodus. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Yes, that is a promise accompanying this command. That's right. You're seeing it right there. And Paul, by the way, confirms that in Ephesians 6:2. Did you know that? The New Testament affirms that promise. Honor your father and mother, Ephesians 6:2. This is the first commandment with a promise. Long days in the land there is not necessarily talking about long life. That could be true, but there's more here. In fact, in the parallel passage in Deuteronomy, we gain fuller insight. Listen to this in Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that your Lord is giving you. Now, certainly in direct context, this refers to the Israelites' prosperity in the land. I want to make that clear. That's what's in direct context to Israel here. And if we consider the children of Israel, how did they do in their homes? Just think about the line of kings, horribly at honoring mother and father. We understand that the birth of many of their problems in Israel started in the home. Yes, how much moral decay in Israel started with dishonoring mom and dad? With this, you can connect the dots, can you not? From dishonor in that home, right to exile from the land. I was reading this week of testimonies of convicted felons, and you know what the most common thing a convicted felon says? My problem started when I stopped listening to mom and dad. It's true. True felons that have been through, they've touched the element, been burned and scarred and lost limbs and in life in prison say, you know what? When I started not listening to mom and dad and not honoring them, not obeying them, that's when my problem started. Beloved, parental honor, parental weight gives way to this practical wellness. Yes, this command is stating clearly that wellness in life is tied to honoring dad and mom. That's what the text says. Wellness in life is tied to honoring dad and mom. In fact, as you turn over to the New Testament, outside the context of Israel and the Mosaic Law, you come to Ephesians 6. And again, it's affirmed. The exact same principle is affirmed. The New Testament points to the greater promise here, that it will go well with you. Not only Exodus says it, but Ephesians says it. Practical wellness. The more peaceful, more harmonious, more well life when we obey principle. True of obedience to all of God's commands, but especially noted here. And you might say, really? You're probably saying, really? That's a lot of stock in honoring one's parents, isn't it? That's a lot of weight. Well, in response to that, we need to say just a few things. Number one, it's not what we think, or it's not what I'm telling you. It's actually what the Word of God says. Is that not true? This is what the Word of God says. So it's not about any of our opinions. This is what God says. Human wellness and flourishing is tied to honoring mom and dad. Old Testament, New. Secondly, what of life's problems? I just want you to think with me briefly. Where does a lack of wellness in life start? What of the child that rebels against parental authority? As he grows, do you think that he's going to respond well to other authorities? The child that doesn't honor dad and mom, what is his or her view of the family? Will she fight for it? When society attacks the family, will he be all about individual rights? The child that doesn't honor dad and mom, what's his view of marriage? The child that doesn't honor dad and mom, what happens when he becomes dad? Can he expect his children all of a sudden to honor him? Has he modeled that? It would seem a strange thing for that child to complain about parents or his children not honoring him when he hasn't honored his. Those are telling, but more than all those is the dishonoring child's obedience. I mean, if honoring dad and mom is a matter of obedience, and we have seen that it is, then you would expect over time to live long and well in the land because you're doing life God's way. And it stands to reason when you do life God's way, life goes well. That's your basic biblical arithmetic equation. Do life according to God, not your feelings, not your neighbors, Not what you think. Do it this way and life goes well. And we have a verse for that. Proverbs 13:15. Absolutely love the King James. So pointed here. The way of transgressors is hard. Live against God, life is hard. Live God's way, life flourishes. Doesn't mean you don't have trials and suffer. You know what I mean? But is it any wonder those that have joy in trials and suffering are the ones that live lives of obedience? In the original, by the way, in Proverbs 13, it says this, the way of the disobedient is an enduring rut. Ever have those periods where you feel like you're in an enduring rut? Almost always it's tied to disobedience. For the sinner, for the disobedient, for the dishonoring, life is hard. Practically, life does not go well for them. There's no harmony, there's no peace. That's practical wellness.